The episode you're about to listen to is a special edition of The Startup Show, recorded during Grit Daily's live event at South by Southwest. Here we have an expansive range of topics and featured experts from various industries. Enjoy.
My name is Spencer Holst, here with Grit Daily at the Lively and Grit Daily House at South by Southwest 2024. And I'm sitting across from Justin Polk, and he has an amazing company called The Invisible Collective.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they are making some really interesting creative experiences, really. And they're doing it while ensuring there's representation in their work, which a lot of times is not present, you know, in anything, really. A lot of it's segregated almost. You know, you have one group making stuff for their own, you know, people, for their own diverse crowd, and then the whole other, you know, a whole other group of people is making their own thing.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of hard to bring that together, I assume. And I just kind of love to hear a little bit about what you think about representation in film and kind of how we bridge that gap and what that means, because I assume it means better material.
It means, excuse me, it means material that everybody can relate to.
Right.
In a way, you know. You know, at Invisible, you know, we started with the ethos of representing the underrepresented. That's kind of like our why. We wanted to make sure that, you know, the people that, you know, filmmaking, commercials, content, all the stuff that been so homogenous for so long, you know, and I think there's a lot to be said for when you add a little bit of culture and nuance to things, right? It just makes, for film, it just makes somebody want to be a part of that film more. I always give the example of Black Panther. This is a great film. Everybody loved it.
Absolutely.
But there was a lot of, but it was written by, what's it called? Joe Robbie, whatever his last name, I can't remember. But anyways, in that film, there's a part where Killmonger comes back to Wakanda for the first time, and he walks in and he says two words that tells you everything about who he is. He walks in and looks at T'Challa's mom and goes, "Hey, auntie." And right there, that's a cultural nuance within the Black culture. Like, we all say, "Hey, auntie," and so that tells you who he is without having to say, walk in and say, "I'm Killmonger, so-and-so's son," and all this stuff. Two words that's culturally nuanced just brought the whole thing together. So with things like that, that's what we that we want to interject, whether it's in Hispanic culture, whether it's with women, whether it's whatever. We want to be as inclusive as possible when we're doing the work, because we want it to sing to everybody.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of Black Panther, it doesn't detract from the experience at all. In fact, that's one of the best Marvel movies ever made, truly. And he's one of the best villains because you relate to him. That's the whole point, right? You relate to him, his story, who he is, everything. And that includes the culture, because the culture adds a true description behind who he is in that brief moment you get to see him in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get into his backstory, but if that backstory is built through his culture, you really get to know the character, and he becomes lifelike. He becomes more relatable, as you said.
Yeah.
And it really did turn him into one of the most relatable and loved villains of any of these movies. And a lot of people love these movies, even the villains bad. So it goes to show why that's such a success. So it makes sense that, you know, we want to bring more of that into our films.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny right now. There's a, we call it the reckoning almost of the backlash against whatever DEI and all that stuff is. Well, you know, I don't understand it, because I think one of the things it does is it just allows more opportunities for people, and people don't see it that way. But you know, I think right now we're turning to as a culture, we need to focus more on like omniculturalism. You know, it's like we're good at this thing. Like, everybody's good at what they're good at, but even no matter what background they are, you know, in almost the way. So
yeah, well, there's this odd barrier for that, right? I mean, there shouldn't be, but there is.
Yeah,
and that's just kind of the way it is, and it's kind of hard to break down something you don't understand, because why is it there in the first place, right?
Oh man, yeah.
And so it just makes it harder, because it's this kind of impassable terrain And yet you know to get something better and to involve everybody, you have to get past it.
Yeah.
And so that's really difficult. And I think, you know, the entertainment industry is in a really good spot to kind of be the breakthrough point there, because the entertainment industry is always kind of the first one, mm-hmm. whether it's music, whether it's film, whether it's whatever, to bring things to light, yeah. right? Because that's where people pay attention. It's in some part media, sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. And then it's social media, which is basically film and entertainment nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you have the actual film industry, the actual music industry, and they're always kind of the first ones to bring problems to light. It's always been that way, right? Yeah. And they're the first ones to make people think. That's mm-hmm. because people think and they feel through music, through video, through entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, it's kind of a unique position that the industry's in, maybe even a responsibility to be like, you know, we need to figure this out for ourselves and let everybody else see how it works.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that kind of, yeah, exactly. And that kind of brings it back to our why, right, at Invisible. You know, I just saw, back in the, when we started this company, I saw a hole within you know, entertainment. And we started off on the commercial side, so making commercials and things like that, and slowly moved into film and television and all that stuff, as my two partners have worked in film for years before, even before I did. So I just saw a hole in the industry. Is like, there's nobody out there that's waving the flag of saying, we are going to represent the people that haven't had historically haven't had a chance to be represented or in full force. There have been ones and twos here, but we're saying like, no, if you want to come to us, you're coming for diverse cultural perspective. And you're gonna work with cool people that make great things. You know, high level film, television, commercials, music videos, whatever. And you're gonna get a high level, but from a diverse perspective. From you know, that's it. And you know, it's not saying that this black person has to work on this black thing, or this Hispanic person is working this Hispanic thing, or you know, this Asian person is Asian. It's just saying that no, whatever they bring to you, whatever you bring to us, or whatever we do, they will have their spin on that in their way. That's it.
Right.
And they'll bring a perspective that you might not have ever thought of before. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, and a lot of brands especially get kind of pigeonholed in what they think they need to do and who they need to reach, right?
Yeah.
And they go, well, this is our audience. Well, why is that your audience? Why is that your only audience? Why do you not have a larger audience? Why is your audience not this group and this group as well?
Exactly.
And I think part of that is because a lot of brands think they have to have a recognizable face mm-hmm. or a recognizable voice. Morgan Freeman's voice, for example, is used everywhere.
Yes.
Because when you hear it, you know who it is, and you're instantly like, I love Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's so many talented people out there who don't get the same recognition. Like, well, nobody's going to know who this is. But the thing is, they're going to make great stuff.
Yeah.
And what people remember, as much as I love Morgan Freeman, is not Morgan Freeman's voice from a good commercial. It's what they saw and the whole thing, you know, the experience as a whole.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole experience.
Yeah, and so, you know, if you have people who are talented and they can create a great experience, well, next time they'll be remembered
mm-hmm.
for who they are. Or maybe they made the music and nobody ever knows who made the music, really. Unless it's somebody famous, a lot of great musicians, especially for like movie soundtracks, you know, nobody really knows them unless they're Hans Zimmer.
Yeah. and even then it's like, how the music is used within the film or the spot or whatever. It's like there's a certain way to do it, or maybe it's like it's a reimagined spot, a reimagined song that nobody that you know from back in the day, but you never really heard it. Like there's this commercial that somebody did, and if you listen carefully, it's Ginuwine's Ponies being played in the background, but it's not being played normal. It's being played with like classically. Yeah, so you hear it and you're like, is that Pony?
Yeah. So it's like, so that's that little bit of twist, like that.
Exactly.
Like you recognize it, but it's something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also sitting here thinking, when it comes to some of these people, when you recognize who they are, maybe that even detracts from the experience a little bit sometimes, right? Like I said, Hans is a great composer, but you know exactly what it's going to sound like to a degree. Like it's not all the stuff's the same, but it has that. It's him. It's his voice coming through in the music. And his voice isn't a culture. And if you're trying to capture a moment or an experience or something bigger, you need somebody who is coming from that angle, who has that driving what they're doing. And not everybody can do that. You have to find the right person.
Yeah.
And that right person might not be somebody people know, because a lot of times culture isn't what makes it through the ceiling. You know, something culturally is kept a little closer because it's so personal.
Yeah.
And so you have to find those people. You have to find that talent. Yeah. And I'm sure that's not an easy thing. Like, how do you go about doing that? Is it social media based these days, or?
You know, a lot comes from word of mouth sometimes. Definitely see people on social media. And then sometimes, you know, coming to these festivals.
Right.
You know, seeing work that you're like, oh, wow, that's dope.
Yeah, so that's the great thing about South By, right? Like, there are so many people here, and they're all doing something that they love. That's why they're here. If you don't love what you do, you don't come to South By.
Yeah.
You know, because this is kind of the place to be yourself and to let everybody see what you're doing.
I mean, so many dope people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, every street you walk down while this is going on, there's something interesting happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can imagine that's a great place to find that next person that's just like, that is what I want to use. Or at the very least, you see a lot of stuff that you go, maybe in a few months when I'm doing my next thing, I should come back and talk to them. I should get an instruction now.
Well, yeah, you know, and this is my first time at South By, so, you know, I'm experiencing it all for the first time, and I'm loving every minute of it. You know, I think it's one of those things where, for me, I get excited, you know, if I see a new director and I see their work. I'm like, who is that person? I need to meet them right away. And, you know, just breaking that initial conversation, excuse me, and just being able to talk to them a little bit, just to say hi and hello and, like, get to know, like, that 5 minute, maybe it's 5 minute conversation, just hearing them. And then that just, hopefully that leads to, if we want to work together down the line, at least the more, they know who I am, already we met, and then we can talk about other things, you know.
Well, yeah, South By, everybody's ready to talk. Yeah. See, that's the interesting part, because, like, if you're a day-to-day and you reach out to somebody, they may be busy, they may be doing whatever. When they're at South By, that's the expectation. You're going to talk to people. Yep. That's the point, right? It's networking.
Yep.
Below everything else, beneath the surface of all the fun and the demos and the panels, this is a networking event.
Yeah.
And that's what people are here for. So that's kind of the magic of South By. You get to meet a lot of people that maybe you wouldn't be able to meet otherwise. Maybe their assistant would just toss you to the side.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they would just be busy. Like I said, you know, it is what it is. I mean, a lot of people get caught up in something. I'm sure when you're doing a film, you know, you become a much harder person to reach, right?
It's true. I could get
and
focused.
So, yeah, I mean, that's just what this is. And it's really a magical thing to, like, get to meet all these people and hear what they're doing and learn something, really. I mean, that's the most fun part of any of this.
Yeah.
And so I guess it kind of leads me to a question of when you come here and when you go to other festivals. I know you were at Cannes, correct?
Cannes, yeah. And I went also.
So what are your goals when you go to these? I know this is your first time at South By, but like at Cannes, like what do you really want to get out of it more than anything? Is it to show what you're doing and how unique it is, or?
Yeah, I think it's, for each festival, it might be a little different. You know, at Cannes, it's more about the work. And so, you know, this past year I was there because I had something that was I thought was going to get shortlisted for work at Cannes. It had been winning awards for other, like, shows, like the One Show and Webbies and all this stuff. And so I was like, okay, it really has a shot this year. So I was like, let me just go ahead and book my ticket and go. You know, so my goal there was just, to be honest with you, was to meet as many people that did not know outside of my comfort zone as possible. Does that make sense? So
yeah, it's a networking. Right?
Yeah. So it was like, you know, it's funny because it gets pretty segregated. Like America's, like the American people are at this hotel and the people from Europe are this hotel and the Hispanic market's at this hotel. So I was like, you know, everybody that's at the American hotel, I know a lot of them already. I've already been around them. Let me go to these other places and just experience their culture, see who they are, have some drinks with them, just talk it up, and it was great. And I ended up getting some work out of just meeting people for the first time and sitting down and just making a connection with them in a great way. So that was my goal at Cannes, you know. Just, it was also just to experience it, because that was also my first time there. As you know, I've always said I would never go unless I had some work there. So I thought I was gonna have work there, and it didn't end up being. And then nothing really happened, but it was a great experience. And I go to other festivals as well. I go to Sundance almost every year. And that's more of a, let me go be a film, like a filmmaker. So as a filmmaker, you know, you're meeting more writers, you're meeting producers, managers, like, you know, you're having lunches and meetings and, you know, and partying a little bit. And then also, we as a company, we like to do filmmaker networker lunches and stuff and brunches at our house. So we just kind of, it's almost like the Grit House, you know? It's like
right.
We bring people here to us, and we have we just try to make it an open place where people come and meet and talk. So
absolutely,
and to relax, you know.
I mean, that's kind of how you make progress, right? Is you just meet more people, and eventually it all starts to click.
Yeah.
And they start to see what you're doing. And, you know, I even think, especially when you're working with other cultures, that's kind of exactly what you're trying to do, right?
Yeah.
Like when you meet people from Europe or somewhere else, that's kind of the gap you're trying to bridge in a way. Yeah. So,
like, I would imagine. I met this creative that's out of Australia. We'll probably never work together. Maybe we will. But good dude, we will text every now and then. It's just like, that's a connection that I would never would have made if I would have never went there. So I appreciate those things, and I kind of hold them dear, because I was like, it's like, life is short.
Yeah.
Life is very short, and things run by very fast. So, you know, meet good people, try to find, like, I'm always about, I'm very transparent about who I am as a person, and like, always, I try to always be honest with my work and with my peers, and, you know, just find people that are in the same wavelength with you, and I find that people are hoping maybe one day we'll work together, maybe we won't.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me a little bit about what's next then, like, right? So you've met all these people, you're now here at South By. I mean, what's your next step? Are you making something new right now? Or are you planning something?
I'm actually here. I have a sports documentary that I did with the Los Angeles Rams. So I'm here today premiering that trailer. And so I'll be doing that in the panel. So that's what's next. So we're doing it kind of backwards. We're airing the trailer today, but we're still working on the actual feature.
Okay.
So it's almost like pre-marketing before the film comes out. And it's based around my time filming Matthew Stafford, quarterback for the Rams, and following him within this short period of time of the end of the season and the run through the playoffs, and getting to know him from on the field and off the field with his family and all the stuff. So,
oh, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah,
absolutely. I look forward to watching it. At some point.
It should be out in April. Hopefully.
Okay.
If all works, either on NFL Network or Amazon, maybe, or other places. You know, who knows?
Somewhere we'll find it.
Yes.
And the LA Rams. We'll find the LA Rams.
Yes. Yeah. So thank you, LA Rams, for bringing me to South By.
Absolutely.
Say
yeah. Well, thank you for sitting down and talking to me for a bit.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it having me. Thanks, Spencer.